Let me invite you tonight over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. All right, verse 1, ready? And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Notice, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down asleep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, asking for your blessing, that we might see by your light and understand the truths, not Lord, that we would not be discouraged or dismayed by the world and the devil and the lies that would try to overthrow the faith that you've given to us. Lord, we ask your blessings tonight that you might encourage us and deliver us that we might be faithful servants. Bless the message tonight and may each one of us hear from you, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply The Lamp of God, the Lamp of God. Tonight we want to take a few moments just to look at the importance of seeing the light of God. That's what's really important, because these people that deny God, do they have the light of God? Are they seeing by the lamp of God? No, their light has been turned into darkness by the devil himself and by the world and by the flesh. So if God's light doesn't guide you and I as believers, the light that we will walk in will be darkness. We will think we're walking in the light. Don't you know that these people who have rejected the Lord, and they have rejected him, they have understood, because Romans chapter 1 tells us that they had understanding and they decided to reject the Lord. And so God gave them over to that reprobate kind of thinking. And so their light that they're professing themselves to be wise, oh, how illuminated and how enlightened we are, is all darkness. And so we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in that in our own hearts and minds, because that's where it took place in their life. And as it happened to them, it is possible that it can also happen to the child of God. We can look at different examples. Peter, he thought he was walking in the light when he said he would not deny the Lord, and it was darkness, wasn't it? David also, when he took Bathsheba and had Uriah's wife, had Uriah killed. And so they thought they were walking in light, and yet we're walking in darkness. And so tonight we want to consider four steps if we are to walk in God's light tonight. So for step one, we're going to find in the first three verses, and that is serving without God's revelation. And then the second step is God's call. The third step is God's revelation. And then the fourth step will be honoring God's revelation. So let's look at these first three verses again and notice serving God without his revelation. Notice, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Do you remember the story of Samuel and where it all began? Do you remember his mother, Hannah? And Hannah was praying because she didn't have a child, and she was asking God. And remember, Eli thought she had been drunk, and oh no, listen, I'm not a daughter of Belial. And she said, I am asking God for a son. And she was specific in her prayer, by the way. That's a good thing to be. We need to be specific in our prayer as well, because God wants us to ask him for things that because he desires to give us those things. Lord, that you might have your will in my life. Lord, that your love might rule and guide my life for your honor and glory. I believe God wants to answer those. And I'm sure that every one of us can think about the things that God wants to accomplish in our lives. And if we ask him for those things, God has promised to do that. And that is faith. We trust that God says, these are the things I want to give you. We just have to come to the place where we say, okay, Lord, I want to receive those things. Many times, I'm convinced, we just simply don't understand that. God is wanting to give his children understanding. So here's Samuel in this situation. He doesn't really have this relationship with the Lord yet. But I want to remind you of something as we look to this account, what the name Samuel means, because his mother, Hannah, named him that, didn't she? The name Samuel means, guess what? Asked of God.
asked of God. She got Samuel because she asked God. You and I will receive things from the Lord if we will ask Him that He wants us to have. Sometimes we think, well, I don't want to trouble with the Lord with a mansion or with an airplane. Well, that's good because that's probably not His will. Amen? But there are many things that we might fail to ask Him that are His will for you and I to have possession of. And so we need to be aware of that, mindful of that, and approach the Lord in that. Because as He gives us those things and delivers us, and we experience the grace of God, we will worship and be brought to the place of rejoicing in the Lord. So he says here, again in verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Why? Because there was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. Now, I want to share something with you. Eli experienced the grace of God in his life. Eli experienced the power of God in his life. And then notice this here in verse 3. And ere the lamp of God, right, went out in the temple of the Lord. So the light has been out here. And notice where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And so here we have Samuel and Eli serving, and the Bible tells us here that the light of God was not prevalent there, and that there was not a lot of the word of God being spoken to the people of God at that particular time. Now, here's the question. Does God want to speak to us today? Absolutely, He does. Did He want to speak to the people in the day of Samuel? Absolutely, He did. And so we want to always remember that it's not, sometimes we say, oh, well, let's just get used to where we're at. Let's just get comfortable because it's not going to get any better. Well, where did that come from? Not the Lord. And so we need to be careful about that. So let's look at step 2, and that is God's call in verse 4. The Lord, notice that the Lord called Samuel. This is Samuel. He was laid down to sleep. And it says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Now, don't answer out loud. At this point, does Samuel know who's calling him? Let's read on here. And so he said, here am I, verse 5. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. He says, lie down again. And he went and lay down. So is he hearing God? Well, he's audibly hearing the Lord, but he doesn't know who it is. He thought it was Eli. So Eli says to him, I didn't call you. Go lay down. In fact, he probably may have thought he must have heard something, but I didn't call him. Now, here's another question. Did Eli know who was calling Samuel? No, not yet. He surely didn't. And so verse 6, and the Lord called again. Listen, is God calling today? Yes. The problem is we're not hearing him. And so he says this, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. He said, I'm sure of it now. And notice this. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. And maybe, you know, I called not, my son. This poor boy is hearing things, right? Go back and go to bed. And so Eli's not really aware of what God is doing. And notice this, verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet what? Revealed unto him. Listen, if you will keep a keen eye out for that, you will realize that everything God does for you and I is by revelation. Listen, this morning we were studying about the life of Moses, and if God did not reveal himself through the burning fiery bush, Moses wouldn't have known the direction that God was going to lead him in. And so likewise in your life and mine, God leads by revelation today through the written word that's already been given to every believer. And by the way, we have the privilege of possessing that in our hands, and may we not take that for granted. And so here is the Lord's call. And we're seeing this situation here happening in the life of Samuel and also in Eli. And now I want you to take notice God's revelation. So again, verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. But now God is getting ready to reveal it. Who is the revealer of the truth? God. Amen? Who's the revealer of all the good things that he has promised? It's the Lord. And so as we consider this, now we move into this realm here of God's revelation. And I want you to notice three things, or maybe four things here. First of all, it's God's personal revelation. Secondly, Eli passed his relationship with the Lord, and we'll see that here in just a moment. And then Samuel now is beginning to gain a new relationship with the Lord. And then God also gives us an accountability, or we would call that maybe a heavy revelation. In other words, God's not just going to give us a revelation for the sake of giving us a revelation. He's giving us a revelation, listen, so that you and I can walk in that truth. When we ask God for a revelation, he says, I'm going to give it to you, but now there's accountability with this revelation. If you're serious with me, I'm going to show you things, but then that's the direction that we're to walk in. God is not just throwing things out there for the sake of impressing us. He is wanting to change. Is that the truth? God is wanting to change your life and mine. Question, did God want to change the prophet Eli's life? Yes, he did. But he had two sons that caused him to fail in that. Did he want to change Samuel's life? Yes. And if you'll study the history, you'll realize that Samuel, unfortunately, also had two sons that did not follow the Lord. But that did not keep Samuel from following the Lord. And that's the important thing. Listen, be careful that we don't, and I've said this before, it's a sad commentary, it's a sad state for the believer to say, I used to serve the Lord, but somebody or something offended me. Well, that somebody or that something was not the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and gave me eternal life. So by the grace of God, I don't ever want to be in that case or in that situation where I would say, well, I used to serve the Lord, but I don't serve him anymore because somebody offended me, because they didn't die. And here's the crazy thing. They may not even be saved. So why in the world would I run the risk of not serving God because somebody who may not know the Lord, or surely maybe not walking with the Lord, was unkind to me? Were they unkind to the Lord? The Lord said, hey, listen, if the world hates me, guess what? You're in the same boat. because they don't like the Lord. The world does not like the light of God. So as we consider this tonight, we want to continue to move forward. And we see here God's revelation. Look at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Isn't that amazing? The third time God calls Samuel. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. Now watch this. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. He's still working with Eli. And he, listen, God is faithful, even if we're not faithful. And but listen, it did a work, but to a small degree, because Eli really was more concerned about his sons and cared more about them, because you'll see, I don't know if we'll look at it tonight, but he did not address his sons the way that he was supposed to. And they were really children of the devil, is what the Bible says about them. And maybe we'll take a look at that here just for a brief moment. So God is giving Samuel a personal revelation here. And now Eli perceived that God is calling him. Now watch what happens in verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. Go back to where God was calling you. And it shall be, if he shall call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. That's a good thing to do. He says, now I understand. Do you see that? Listen, three times God was calling Samuel and he did not understand it. Could it possibly be the same way that God is calling his people today and they're just simply not understanding? It can be. But a lot of times I'm afraid it's because we are distracted. I don't think life is more complicated or more trying than it was 100 years ago, but this is for sure, we certainly have a lot more distractions in our day and age than ever before. More distractions in the last 20 years than ever before. My goodness, if the computers weren't bad enough, well, now we carry a handheld computer to distract us. So we can be, now listen, I'm not against technology. I think it can be used for the honor and the glory of the Lord. I get this little message every Sunday morning. Your FaceTime or your computer time on your phone is down 30% than last week. And I'm like, good. I don't care really if it's down. And the uptime that I have with that is either calling my family or calling church members and talking to them or looking up things that deal with my relationship with the Lord or enjoying the hoopla. There's a lot of good books online that we can listen to when we're busy doing things and have the time to listen to good spiritual advice from even preachers in the 1800s. So I'm not really against technology only or unless the technology is taking us away from our God. And so here's Samuel experiencing this. He goes down to his place. And then notice verse 10. And the Lord came and stood. So where's the Lord? If he came and stood, he's not just calling. And stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Boy, isn't that a good word to the Lord. Isn't that something that God, I think, wants to hear? Lord, speak to me. I am waiting. I am listening to hear from you. And so, as we consider this, we find that now Samuel has a new relationship with the Lord. Now it's a personal relationship. Now it's interaction. Listen, do you know this? God wants every one of his children to have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not just this idea, well, this is advice from the preacher as he's preaching the word. I want you to know, and I hope you understand this, I want to encourage you to have a personal relationship, a personal fellowship with your Savior, a personal experience of God in your life, not just on Sundays, every day, that you and I might experience the joy and the peace of God, not the joy of the world, not the peace of the world, but God's joy that he wants us to experience every day and to walk in. And so we ought to examine our lives and say, do I possess that peace and that joy? It may not be at all times throughout the day. At that time, listen, if we are looking for the joy and the peace of God, we will be reminded when we're not in that joy and that peace to stop and say, wait a minute, this is not right. Oh God, forgive me. I have allowed a circumstance or a situation to gain attention of my heart and has veered me away from walking with you. And so God wants us to experience him every day and every moment, really, of every day. And so now here's this new relationship that Samuel is enjoying with the Lord. And he says, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord, verse 11, said unto Samuel, isn't that good? The word of God, he's hearing the word of God. Behold, I will do a thing in Israel. I want you to know what I am doing, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Now this is an important truth. It is a good revelation because it's going to honor and glorify the Lord, and it's going to do a personal work in the life of Samuel, but it's not going to be good for some people, and we'll see that here in just a moment. So he says in verse 12, now here's this heavy revelation. In that day I will perform against Eli, this is who he's serving now, and this is who he looked up to because this was the man of God. And by the way, Eli was helping Samuel in his relationship with God. Let me say that again. Eli was telling him, hey, listen, I know what's going on. And that brings me to this. Was Eli right in the sight of God? Was Eli walking right at this time in the sight of God? No, he wasn't. Now watch this. Look at verse 12 again. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him, notice what it says, I have told him that I will judge his house forever. Notice, for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. These are adult men. And listen, now you have to understand this. They're in the priesthood. And he, not only is he their father, but he's also their boss. And he had a responsibility and an obligation to confront them with the way that they were walking, and he would not confront them. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering for how long? Wow. Now Eli was a servant of the Lord. Now, why am I saying this? What is significant about this? Even though Eli was not walking with the Lord the way that he should have been, Do you believe he loved the Lord? Yeah, he loved God. Because if you'll remember, when the ark of the Lord was taken, and Eli heard that his sons were killed, and when Eli heard that the ark was taken, he fell over backward. He was 98 years old. And he fell over and broke his neck. He was a heavy set man. He fell over, the Bible tells us, and he died. But listen, you know a crazy thing? God uses imperfect man to lead people to the truth. He was using Eli, who was not what he should have been with the Lord, to point Samuel towards God. Isn't that amazing? Listen, Samuel knew he was doing wrong by the Lord. The problem was he chose to love his sons more than obey God. And that's where the problem came in. And this went on for many years. And that was unfortunate because by not confronting his sons, the sons never really saw the error of their way. He should have stood up and said, "You're not going to do that and serve God." Chose us, he was accountable to do that. And because of that, now his family now has been cursed. And God has the right to do that. I can't give you all the understanding because I don't understand it myself, but I trust that everything that God does is right. Amen. And so we find here that this is a heavy revelation that has been given to Samuel. Because you know what's coming up next if you're familiar with the story. Eli's going to ask him about it. Eli is convinced that God was calling Samuel. He perceived the Lord was calling him. God does not just call us for the sake of nothing. God has a purpose for calling us. Do you believe that? God has a purpose for calling us. So let me ask you this question. Has God called us? To what? To follow him. He has a purpose. And so we have a responsibility and a privilege to walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a good thing. But for whatever reason, he was distracted by his sons and by the world instead of his God. So we come to the last point, and now it's time to honor God with this revelation. This is not an easy revelation for this young boy, Samuel, but he's wanting to do business with God. And when we honor God, guess what? God will honor us. So look at verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning. I don't think he got a lot of sleep that night. And opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared. Listen, Samuel, the young man that just got this revelation, the young boy, feared to show Eli the vision. So can you imagine? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, Eli, he's taking care of business. And I'm sorry, Samuel. And Eli's probably watching him. And come on now, let's look at this. And he's just going about his duties. And Eli knows Samuel got a message from the Lord. And Samuel's not saying anything to him. Now, let me ask you a question. If God gave you a personal message, would you share that with anybody? If God didn't hold you back, would you say, "Man, let me tell you what God said to me last night"? Amen? Right? But the problem was the message was not positive. But it was still the truth, was it not? Okay, so here he is. He's taking care of all the different things. And again, look at verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." Maybe with a hard swallow. Amen. And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee?" And again, maybe some time had lapsed and Eli was probably listening because his eye vision wasn't all that good, but maybe he's hearing Samuel moving around and doing different things. And he says, "I pray thee, hide it not," because Samuel didn't come to him to tell him what the Lord had said. "Hide it not from thee. God do so to thee and more also if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." Wow. So he's saying, "You've got to tell me. I want to know everything that God said to you." And I still am convinced that God is working in this whole situation. I find this situation just like everybody who denied the Lord Jesus Christ will not be able to help themselves. They will want to. They reject and they shake their fists at God today. They'll shake their fists at God through the tribulation. They'll cry out for the rocks to fall on them. And then there'll come that time when they will bend a knee and confess with their tongues that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and King of kings. They will do that, and they will want to do that. They'll not be made to do that, robotically speaking, but the very presence of God will demand that, and they will willingly do it. And so right now, Eli is right in that very same situation, not even realizing he is wanting to know what God said, because God has spoken. And so what do we find here? What is the thing that the Lord said to you, Samuel? Verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit, every bit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. This is Eli now. Let him do what seemeth him good. This is not good. He's judging his sons. That's what he was living for. That's what he was succumbing to instead of the will of God. And he says, let him do what seemeth him good. Notice, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, he made sure that he followed everything that God said. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be prophet, be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So Samuel honored the Lord in this revelation that he had been given. God reveals truth to you and I that we might walk in that truth. Does that make sense? God gives us light so that we might walk in it. All we have to do to lose that light and to lose the Lord's way is to ignore what God is giving to us. Isn't that what Eli did? And what happened with that? Eli ended up having sons that were of the devil. Back up with me here. And this was before even chapter 2. This was even before God gave this revelation to Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of what? Who? Belial, the devil. And notice this, they knew not the Lord. And they had caused, I'm not going to go through that, but they had caused the children of God to sin before the Lord. They held the priestly office, and they were very selfish with that. They did not, and so they lost it. If we are selfish and use the things of God for our own means and not the glory of the Lord, we will lose it. These people right here, these were the offspring of Eli. We'll lose the next generation if we don't walk with the Lord. We'll lose the next generation if they don't see us walking with God. Eli was saved. I believe that. He had a relationship with the Lord, but the next generation lost it. And we don't want to lose the next generation. There's no reason for it. Let me say that again. There's no reason for it. All we need to do is be serious in our walk with the Lord. Be committed and trust that the Lord will take us there. We don't have to do anything but just call upon the Lord. He'll give us direction and just follow it. God will energize us to do it. What do I mean by that? We were studying this morning, and I'm going to close with this here. We were studying this morning that in Sunday school class that Moses gave the Lord a bunch of excuses why he couldn't talk to Pharaoh. You read that real careful when he got to Egypt. You don't see Aaron saying anything. Moses is the one that's talking to Pharaoh. It got good to him, right? Listen, when we trust the Lord, we will enjoy our walk with him. Will we experience trials? That's what grows our faith. That's what tries us. That's what proves us. Okay, do you still trust the Lord? That's basically what's happening when we walk in. Are you still going to trust the Lord? Are you still going to... People are turning away. Okay, are you still going to trust the Lord? People are not walking with God today. That's the truth, but I don't want to quit serving the Lord or walking with him. I want to hear from him. I want him to be glorified in my life because he'll still bless. He will take care of his own, will he not? God will take care of his own. Even through tribulation, even through persecution, God will never leave us nor forsake us. May we be like the three Hebrew children in spite of what they're threatening to do to us. We will walk upright by the grace of God. What did Moses do? Moses followed God's direction. And was it Moses that brought the 10 plagues on Egypt or God? Was it Moses that parted the Red Sea or God? Was it Moses or God that provided for them in the wilderness? Was it Moses or God that brought them into the promised land? So it's the same with you and I. It will be God that will do everything for us or it won't happen. And so we need to get to this place, or ask God to bring us to this place, that we need to stop thinking that we're going to serve God in our might. Or we'll miss God. We will miss the Lord. Listen, what does that do? That causes us to realize two things. We need to be dependent upon the Lord. And here's the other one. God wants to fellowship with us. Brother Roger brought this out, and you look at it, that's true. It's all about fellowship. It's all about a relationship with our God and with one another. It's that is the truth. And so here's the crazy thing. God said that his church would glorify him with world without end to the end of the age. Is that true? And the church is led by fallen mankind. But wait a minute. That's God's way. That's God's way. Now, that's not an excuse for us to fail. It's for us to understand that even though we're imperfect, see, if we're looking for God, we're going to find him. But if we're looking for excuses, we're going to find that. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not perfect, so I'm not serving God. Moses wasn't perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect. Job wasn't perfect. In fact, was there anyone perfect? Only God, right? Only God. And so guess what? The complainers aren't perfect either. They're just looking for excuses not to serve God. But ultimately, what they don't realize is they too will stand before the Lord. And I pray, because I don't wish ill will on anybody. I want, as I said this morning, that everybody, every child of God might hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because that's what's going to matter throughout all eternity. I promise you, Fox News is not going to be in heaven. Amen? Amen. CNN News is not going to be in heaven. All these news broadcasting stations and all these other earthly programs that people are distracted, and all these earthly entertainments. I'm not saying that entertainment is wrong in the right sense, in a glorifying way to the Lord. In other words, in right relationship, that we can enjoy ourselves, but never allow those things to rule our lives. And so eternity is a long time to look into the face of our Savior who died for us. And we don't want to, there's no reason why we cannot hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let me ask you this question, and we'll close with this thought. Is it God's will for us to hear, "Well done"? Who makes that possible? Who will make that possible? God. He'll make it possible. So get your faith out of yourself and stop saying, "I can't do this," because God never asked you to. God has asked us to allow him to do it in us. Would you stand with me as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne asking you, Lord, for your light in our life, that we might not be misled by our hearts, by the world, by the devil, or by the flesh, but that we would look to you and the truths in your word to guide us, and that we would look to you to be our shield and our buckler. Speak to your people, Lord, as only you can, that we might have our faith, the faith that you've given to us, strengthened by your mercy and grace, that we might experience your grace and your power in our lives in a way that will change us and bring us to the place of worship. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.